this is one of those last-minute sermons because it literally just came to me sitting on that pew while we sang that song. So bear with me, all right? We may be here 5 minutes and we may be here 55 minutes because I have no notes, all right? Matthew chapter number 9. And we'll begin reading in verse number 18. Matthew 9, verse 18. And while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame thereof went abroad into all that land. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your word. And God, how that you are closer to us than any other person this side of eternity. God, how thankful we are that we can bring our cares and our concerns and our burdens to you, and Lord, how you lift those off of us. And God, I pray that now as we look at your word, God, that you would speak to our hearts. Hide me behind that precious cross of Calvary. Lord, that these folk not see me, God, but that they would seek you. Lord, perhaps there is one who is lost and undone without you. God, we pray you convict their heart, that they be saved before it's eternally too late. Likewise, that one that perhaps is backslidden, living in sin, God, we pray you too would convict them, God, that they can't leave this place until they repent and return to you. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we have two different scenarios happening here in these verses, and oftentimes you would find that they narrow in perhaps on one or the other, but very few times do you hear a message on both of them. And this morning it will be on both of them simply because without the one you wouldn't have had the other. And with the other, you don't get the whole story of the one. And so this morning, I want us to think about these two situations, two things that happened here. One where death had came to visit a home, right? And one where death was about to enter into the home. Interestingly enough, both of these people, both of these stories, the people in the stories, they knew the source to which they needed to go. Now, granted, the woman with the issue of blood had gone to other sources beforehand, and we'll look at that momentarily. But nonetheless, notice what it says in verse number 18. It says, And while he spake these things unto them, being his disciples, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, That my daughter is even now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Isn't that great faith? Isn't that something, how that this man knew that he didn't have the power? This was a ruler, it says a certain ruler, so he had some standing in the community, if you will. He had some, perhaps a great title to his name, and he was very well respected, a very knowledgeable individual. And so he knew that even with all of that, he still knew that nobody else could get him what he needed. Much like us today, dear friend, we can go to a lot of sources today, can we not? We can go to a lot of programs. We can go to a lot of maybe some higher-ups in society to gain help. But this young man here, this ruler, knew where he needed to go. A father's request. He said, "My daughter is even now dead. But if you come and lay your hand upon her, she shall live." And what did Jesus do? He had a response here. He arose and followed him. And notice this. And so did his disciples. Now, I think the disciples followed him for a multitude of reasons, and some of which I believe they followed him because that's what disciples do, right? They follow their master. They follow their leader. And so they followed him. But also, I think the disciples were perhaps curious. You know, this is kind of the early days of Christ's ministry at this time. And so these disciples were thinking, well, you know, if there was ever a time for Christ to prove himself, this certainly would be it, right? This young lady is dead. So they followed him, and so did his disciples. But notice what happens along the journey here. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, "If I may touch his garment, I shall be made whole." Now, if you wanted to turn over to Mark chapter 5, real quickly, you will get the rest of this story, if I may read very quickly, verses 25, I think, yes, verse 25. "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in to press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch his garment, or but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, as she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And a disciple said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what she had done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" Isn't this a wonderful story? Can you imagine? Let's go back for just a moment, if I may. I told you I don't have notes, so you know I may be all over the place this morning, so forgive me. But let's backtrack in this day and time. Place yourself here. Anyone who had an infirmity, all right? Anything of a disease, sickness, plague, whatever you may want to call it, before you could go down the streets in the city, or anywhere for that matter, you had to yell out, "Unclean, unclean," so that the people would get out of the way. Because their thinking was that if you have some disease and I touch you, that because of your sinfulness and your uncleanliness, then I'm going to get it, right? Doesn't that call to mind just a few years ago? "Don't touch me, you know, stay away from me, you know, get away from me." Kind of that same scenario, right? Have to yell out, "Unclean, unclean," coming through. But notice that this woman did not obey that law, right? She was so, notice what it says here, that she had suffered for 12 long years. and suffered many things, many physicians, and spent all that she had and was nothing better. Here she was suffering. She was in despair. She had no more hope. It was all gone. But she had heard of Jesus. You know, we could just stop right there and I could probably spend the next hour on talking about hearing of Jesus and what that means. There are countless times in the New Testament, my life and in your life, where we have heard of Jesus and what Jesus is capable and willing to do. But notice here, she had heard of Jesus and came in to press behind him and touched his garment. She had the faith. For she said, if I could just touch his garment, what the other verse said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, then I will be made whole. No, forget politicians. Forget the politics. Forget the governors. Forget the rulers. Forget the society people. Forget the disciples. Whatever is in this crowd this day, I must push through to get to where Jesus is. Now, whatever we're facing in life, is sickness or other issues in our life, we need not to worry about what governors or mayors or presidents or any other political figure may say. We don't need to listen to what mom and dad may say. We don't need to listen to what grandma or grandpa may say or anybody else in our life, but we need to find where Jesus is and get to him. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. Isn't it interesting how God used one situation to take care of another situation? The death of a child to get to where this woman was. Another idea is he's always on time. He's always right where he needs to be, when he needs to be there. And dear friend, it's no different than for that for you and I today either. He's always there. And despite all of this crowd. Of course, we read about where the crowds were. And notice what happens down verse 30. So she had touched the hem of his garment, and she felt, the Bible says, that her issue was dried up. Her issue was cured. Notice what it says. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And of course, the disciples said, this is paraphrasing, all right? "What do you mean, who touched you? Look around you. You have all of these people flogging to you. This great crowd is pressing up against you. What do you mean, who touched you?" And he looked around and saw her. It wasn't just a touch, right? It was the touch. It wasn't a touch in the sense of, you know, we come to church and we know we're going to sing two or three, four songs, and we know that the preacher's going to preach, and we know we're going to go home. We're going to do whatever we do on Sunday afternoons. We'll go to bed. We'll get up the next morning. We'll go to work. And then to come next Sunday, what do? We get ready for church. We go to church. We sing our three or four songs. Preacher preaches. We go home. You know, it's just a routine. That's a touch. But when people do the touch, when you come with that faith and knowing that God is going to do something here, that's what sets it apart, right? That's when God does things. He looked around and he saw her. Of course, this woman is full of fear, right? That's what the Bible says down in verse 33. Fear and trembling, for she knows she already broke the law, right? She's already broke the law. She's already went in the streets and didn't tell or warn people she was in the streets. She already did all of that. So she disobeyed what the higher-ups had said. So she was fearful and trembling at what was done, and she came and fell before him and told him the truth. And I like verse 34 of Mark 5. He said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." Isn't it something how a name is never given, right? That it's not just, it goes from a woman to now a daughter. Dear friend, that's the change that comes with knowing Christ. We're no longer man or woman, but we are sons and daughters. We are adopted children of God. We are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And so he says, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace." What a beautiful thing that this wonderfulness of life and to have this peace that God gives and how wonderful it is. But now I want us to go back to Matthew chapter 9. Because after that little insert of a story, you get the rest of the original story. So a certain ruler came to Jesus and said, "My daughter is dead." And so they arise to go to this ruler's house, or to where the daughter was. They encountered the woman with the issue of blood. And I often wonder, it's not in the scripture, but I wonder if she followed with them. I would think that she probably did, because she knew what Christ done for her, right? And so she knows what Christ can do for others. But nonetheless, and when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, "Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleeps." And they laughed him to scorn. So Jesus comes into his house, and they're like, "She's dead." And he's like, "No, she's just asleep." And they began to laugh and make fun of Christ. But isn't it something how man doesn't know everything, right? As much as we like to think that we do, right? Gentlemen, amen, Romy. We like to think we know it all. But we don't know what the Lord knows. And in this situation, and I've heard it countless times, and I know that there are some circumstances when you're in a hospital setting and you're talking to doctors and they don't give the best outlook on things. And maybe it's not that great of a outlook in life. Even the most highly educated of doctors don't know what God knows. And so Jesus walks into this house and says, "Hey, give place, make room, get out of my way." Basically, she's not dead, she's asleep. They laugh. When the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand as she arose. What a great story again, where Christ delivered, where Christ raised one from the dead. And notice what it says in verse 26 here. "And the fame hereof went abroad into all of that land." This is a man who can not only heal the sick, but can raise the dead. Some common things here, and I'm going to hopefully close. All right. What is some similarities here? They both were in despair. They both had some serious problems. Dear friend, you and I this morning, apart from Christ, are in despair. We have serious problems. They were both dependent upon Jesus, not the world. Not the government, not society, but they were dependent upon Jesus. They were both delivered. One raised from the dead, one cured of what seemed to be an incurable disease. Both were rewarded for their faith. Daughter, be of good comfort, for your faith has made thee whole. The ruler got his daughter back because he went and said to the master, I know that if you lay your hand upon her, she shall live. This great physician, Jesus comes. He gives comfort. He gives this communication here, and things happen. And all of this, what do we have to take from? That there is an abundance of God's grace, even in the midst of suffering. That Jesus has the power and his authority overrides anything that everyone else says. You know, all these people in the ruler's house said she's dead. There's no use in coming in here. She's dead. Law said that this woman couldn't go down the streets of Jerusalem. But Jesus' authority says, what you do, you come in my name. Whatever you ask of me in my name, then I will do it. Now that doesn't mean, Lord, give me a car. That's not what it says. If you research that phrase, whatever you ask in my name, then I will do it, that actually means whatever is in the will of God, then I will do. This raising of the dead was in the will of God. This deliverance from this suffering was in the will of God. Jesus has the power and authority that is greater than any of the circumstances that me and you will find ourselves in. Even knocking at death's door, his power and authority overrides that. So I say to you this morning, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know why I felt impressed to share this word. Because I was in 1 Kings, all right? I'll just tell you straight up. I was in 1 Kings chapter 19 for this morning. So, you know, whatever it is, I don't know. And maybe it's for me for this week. I don't know. But whatever it is this morning, do you need something from the Lord? Do you need that touch? Can you just say, Lord, if I could just touch the hem of your garment? Maybe you need to be made whole. Maybe you need to be delivered. Maybe, spiritually speaking, you are just like the ruler's daughter and you're dead. And maybe you need to be awakened. Or maybe, spiritually speaking, you're much like this lady who had this infirmity, this disease of the blood. Maybe you're sin sick this morning. And maybe you know that you've tried everything imaginable. You know, you can go to any 12-step program your heart desires. You can go to all the counselors, and there's nothing wrong with counselors. Don't misunderstand me. And you can go through any kind of programs, counselors, whatever. But friend, I can tell you now, until you get with Jesus, it's all going to be the same. It'll all be the same. As we stand, one hymn of invitation will be extended. This is your opportunity to do business with God. Perhaps it's salvation, maybe rededication. The Lord knows your heart, and you know where you stand with God. And I encourage you to come this morning and just give it all to Him. To say, if I could touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole as we sing.